Well, good morning, everyone. We're excited about today. We have baptisms, which is always a fantastic day for us as a church. We get to celebrate some life change here today. And let's just say this, that as we wrap up service, for those of you who are going to be water baptized, right whenever we get ready for the offering, if you guys will head to the back, and we have some t-shirts and all that stuff, we'll get you ready to go for baptism this morning. But I want to say this, because I don't want you to be trampling each other trying to get to the snowball stand, okay? You're going to get a snowball, okay? And like some of you guys, you're just crazy like that. And so I just want to calm you down before we get too far into this thing. And so look at your neighbor real quick and just tell him, just calm down. Just calm down. You need to simmer down. How many of you are excited about school starting? See, that's all the parents clapping right there. All the kids are like, are you kidding me? The summer went by super, super fast. And so it's about time to kick it off again. And you guys are aware that we're 4 weeks away from something very special in our lives. How many of you know what's 4 weeks away? Praise the Lord. This church right here is on fire. Got our priorities right. Amen. 4 weeks. That's right. Don't do that stuff. Okay. Anyway, this morning, I want to continue our Wannabe series. This has been a good one. How many of you have enjoyed this series? Just trying to help us to be who God wants us to be. And this morning, I want to continue on. I want us to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 18. We'll read a couple scripture verses, and then we'll pray and jump right in. It says this in Matthew, chapter 4, verse 18. It says, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. How many of you can handle that? You would like to fish for a living. All right. And Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. And a little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing the nets. And he called them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now let's jump to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at the very beginning of this whole setup, and we're going to look at the very end of it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for our time that we have together. I pray that your word will speak life to us. I pray that it will challenge us to change. I pray, Lord, it will be life-giving. And Lord, it will sustain us and grow us to be exactly who you want us to be. And Lord, I ask for your help today to communicate this message. Father, I pray that it will speak. I will speak this in a way that you want it spoken in the right tone with the right heart. And Father, ultimately, I pray it will result in life change. Father. So Lord, thank you, Lord, for our time together today. Bless every family, every person that is here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, real quick, can we give the worship team a hand? That was incredible stuff this morning. They were bringing it, man. Always fun being up there on the front row and worshiping. Man, that was just good. So let's recap a little bit. Week one of the Wannabe series, we opened it up by saying, I want to be a servant. And we just had a few points just to recap for those of you maybe who wasn't here. Whenever we said, I want to be a servant, we said, if you're going to be a servant, first and foremost, you have to open your heart. A lot of people, they immediately open their calendar and they try to see how it fits in. But I believe if we're really going to be a servant, we have to open our heart. Amen. I mean, I want it to be said about me, and I believe we should all want it to be said about us that, hey, that guy, that lady, they are servants, because Jesus, he equated servanthood with greatness. Anybody in here want to live a great life? Come on, can I see your hand? If you want greatness, it has to be preceded by servanthood, okay? And servanthood comes from our heart. But then it can't just be your heart. You actually got to put some action to it. You got to stretch out your hand. You got to get moving. And I was excited yesterday. We had a serve day here at Gilchrist, we had our setup and teardown team come in, and we set up everything for church yesterday, got a lot of things cleaned up, and we were just able to honor those guys, and we honored them because they are constantly serving, setting up church, tearing down church, and I look at that, and I think, man, how could we do church if it wasn't for our setup and teardown team, amen? Like, those chairs wouldn't be there today if they didn't come set it up, and I feel like we need to give them a hand. Come on, those guys just come in, they set it up, they're cutting up, they're laughing, and then they tear it down right after. And some of you didn't even know that, but somebody's here before you. And what are they doing? They're serving. They're doing something so that somebody else can experience Jesus. And for that, we're so thankful. And so with servanthood, it comes from your heart, but you got to stretch out your hand. And you have to know this, that all servanthood makes a difference in people's lives. All servanthood. Today there's going to be some people who are going to be water baptized. There was some servanthood that took place to get those people to that point in their life. And that's why we said, I want to be a servant. And then last week we followed up with, I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper of God. You do know that when we go to heaven, that's going to be the primary activity. It's worshiping God. Amen. And so we got to get used to worshiping God. It needs to be who we are. And so a few things we said last week about being a worshiper is that you were made for this. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you were made for this. Come on, they need some encouragement today. You were made for this. You were made to be a worshiper. And so whenever it comes to the idea of worship, it's not just what we do, it's who we are. Amen. And so I am a worshiper. You were made for this. And so whenever you worship, you want to make sure that you give God your all. All of your life, all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And here's the good news, and this is what we said last week, he will respond. Amen. Thank God that he responds. He responds to us with his presence, and it's in his presence that we are healed. It's in his presence that we are changed, we are restored, and we are delivered. And so this morning, I want to kind of get this thing started, and I want to tell you a story. First of all, I want to ask this question. Have you ever had to follow someone somewhere, and you did not even know where you're going? You ever been in that situation? They just said, hey, follow me, and you had no clue where you were going. Let me see your hand if you've ever been involved in that, okay? So years ago, my first missions trip that I've ever went on in my life, we went down to Victoria, Mexico, okay? It's about 8 hours south of the border, and we drove this thing all the way from Louisiana. So it's like 14-hour ride in a church van with a rattling door, okay? And that will make you lose your mind. And so we drive all the way down there, and we just know where to go. Victoria, Mexico, and we're supposed to meet this missionary at this certain particular point. The only thing is, when we get there to meet the missionary wasn't there. He sent somebody to guide us to the place that we were going. And her name was Ruth. Every mission trip I go on, there's always a lady named Ruth somewhere, okay? And so this Ruth lady is now getting in the van with us, and the guy who's driving, his name is Tim. Tim is from New Orleans. A little hint about New Orleans people, they're crazy drivers. Very crazy, okay? If you drive through New Orleans, be careful. And I mean, he is true New Orleans. That's how you got to say it, New Orleans, okay? And so we're driving down here, and so we let her ride shotgun, front seat for those of you who aren't Southern, okay? And so we let her ride in the front seat, and she was going to tell us where to go. And she never said left or right. She would see an intersection coming, and she would say this, turn straight. And Tim driving the van would just say, which way? Turn straight, right here. Turn straight. I mean, you got your choice. Turn the blinker on which way. And they don't use blinkers there, so it doesn't matter. And so he just turns, and she's like, no, turn straight. And this guy is losing his mind because every direction, she's not telling him left. She's not telling him turn right. She's saying, turn straight. And it was joke. Everybody in the van is cracking up at this point because Tim, and listen, he's New Orleans, and so that's a little bit of Cajun, a little bit of Creole. He is losing his mind. Like, he's got enough of this lady. His impression after that mission trip was, they just need to stick a dynamite and blow the whole thing up and start all over. It's not the right way to end a mission trip, but that's how he felt, because Ruth was just, turn straight, turn straight. And so it took us forever to get anywhere that we wanted to go because these directions were just terrible. But you know how it is whenever you're following someone. Like if you're going on vacation as a family and you're driving in different cars and they're like, just follow me. Well, the guy in the front, he's just driving like nobody's behind him. You wind up like a mile and a half back and you're trying to catch up and you get the speeding ticket, you know, because you're trying to do 100 and your little Prius and your Prius is maxing out, you know. Just doesn't work, but it can be really difficult to follow someone, especially when you have no clue where they're going and you're not familiar with the area. Maybe you don't even know the person that you're following. They just, maybe someone you work with and you just met them. They just said, follow me. You don't know their skills. You don't know what they're able to do. And so you're just trying to catch up with them and stay on track. And so in Matthew 4, this guy Jesus shows up to this commercial fishing village and he just shows up and these guys are working out there by his boats and he's like, hey, come follow me. And they just drop it and follow the guy. And it blows my mind because, I don't know, maybe they hated their job that much that all it took was one person to come around and said, hey, you want to go? And they just took off. You know, one of those take this job and shove it moments. I don't know. And so they just pack it up and leave. And so they're walking around. Jesus comes to this other guy. Hey, come follow me. And those guys are like, okay, nothing else to do. And they begin to follow Jesus, and it blows my mind the amount of trust that they have in this man Jesus, because they, I'm sure they heard word on the street, but they don't know who this guy is. And he comes up to him, come follow me. I mean, if a random person comes up to you at work tomorrow and says, hey, come with me, would you be willing to quit your job? Now, some of you, I know you would. Others of you don't. I mean, would you just roll out, that's it, I'm out of here. No notice or anything. I'm like, you talk about a resume buster. They just packed it up and rolled. It says they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. So that was the first verse that we read. Then you fast forward to Matthew chapter 28. And this is like 3.5 years later, okay? So the first thing it starts, they start following Jesus. Then you fast forward 3.5 years later. They've been walking with Jesus. And then he tells them, hey, I want you now to go into all the world. I mean, first he's saying, come here. Now he's saying, go there. I mean, Jesus is just like in control of their life and they're just kind of rolling with it. And so you see here that there's a couple of things that I want you to recognize. The first one, we have the great calling in Matthew. And the great calling upon all of our lives is this. Jesus is saying, come, follow me. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you answered the great calling that God has for your life? Are you choosing to follow him? Are you still hanging on to the things that you're tangled up in your life? Have you made the conscious decision that, yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I am going to follow him. Or are you still hung up with all the things in your life? So that's the first thing, is the great calling. But then there's the second part of this. After 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, seeing all the miracles, hearing all the teachings, in Matthew 28, he gives us what's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to go. Say go. How many of you like to go? Come on, I mean, how many of you, you just can't stay at home. You just got to go. I got to go talk to somebody. I like to go, man. I like to be out and go see people and stuff. And so Jesus says, go and make disciples. So watch this. Last week when we talked about being a worshiper, when we worship God, watch this, we're coming to him. We come to him and say, Lord, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my King, and I worship you. So I come to him through worship, and I go for him through servanthood. By serving people, that's how I go and make disciples. I live out the Great Commission by going and being a servant. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. So today, what I want to talk about is being a disciple. I want to be a disciple. Anybody in here, I want to be a disciple. We talked about coming to Jesus as the worshiper. We talked about going for Jesus, being a servant. But what about the in-between? What about that in-between between the coming and the going? And this is today where I want to talk about being a disciple. See, there's a lot that took place in the life of these disciples from the day that they chose to follow Jesus and the day that Jesus is ascending into heaven and he's given them this great commission. There's a lot of activities that took place. There's a lot of lessons that they learned to enable them to be who God wanted them to be. And I believe those are some lessons that you and I have to learn. Amen. Can you just look at your neighbor and just tell them, I'm not there yet? Come on, that's going to help some marriages in here. That's going to help some relationships. I'm just not there. Come on, preach this thing to them. I just tell them, I'm not there yet, babe. I'm just not there. Okay? Let's break down what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Okay, that's like the obvious definition of it. But let me break it down a little bit more. A disciple is one who learns from another. It's not just someone who reads a book, but it's one who has a relationship with someone and begins to learn from their life and learns from their example. They see, they hear, they understand, and they experience these things in that life. And as a result, it has an influence and an impact on their lives. And so these disciples, they're following Jesus, but they're not just sitting there listening to what he's saying. They're seeing what he is doing. They're watching him. They're getting to participate in what he is doing. And as a result, their life is being changed, and the influence of Jesus relationally is changing their life. And so when we say disciple, we have to understand that to be a disciple of Jesus, there is a relationship in our lives that is having a direct influence on our behaviors, on our opinions, and on our perspective. Amen. It's in a relationship. And so a disciple is one who learns from another, or you can say it as they're a student of another. Now, some of you in your classes that you have taken throughout your life, you didn't realize it wasn't just information you were picking up, but you were literally picking up the perspective of your teachers and your professors. You were getting a little bit of their opinion mixed in with it. And if you're a teacher and you act like you ain't throwing no opinion in it, you're opinionated about that opinion. There is a perspective that is picked up. And these guys that were following Jesus, they were picking up not just on his information, but they were picking up on who he was. They were picking up on the why behind the what. It wasn't just a good topic that they were learning, but this was real life that they were learning. Amen. There's a difference between a topic and a life. A topic is something that comes and goes, but a life is something that keeps going. Amen. And we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Just want to throw that in there. Okay. So watch this. Many people, they want the salvation that Jesus offers, okay? They want the, I'm sorry for my sins and I get forgiven, but they don't always want what he teaches. They want the grace and the mercy of God. They want all of the you're forgiving stuff, but the following stuff is where it's a challenge. Because we believe that we can figure this out. We can create our own version. Some of you, if I said, hey, this is where we're going, this is the route we're going to take, some of you would create your own map. And you would say, I don't like going down that road. Well, why not? Because I had a bad experience down there one day, and I just don't like passing down there. Well, okay. I mean, it may not happen again. We can go that. Nope, I don't drive that way. I'll find my own way there. And many people in their walk with God, instead of truly following Jesus, they're trying to find their own way. Meaning this, they're making their own rules. And really what they're doing is they're trying to redefine Jesus' ways in their lives. Come on. That's why it's important for us to understand there's a coming, there's a going, but what about the in between? And this is where we have to learn his ways, okay? And so because of that, many people come, they pray a prayer that they will not even follow through with. They'll pray the prayer to give their life to Jesus, but a week from now, they're back in the same place. That just in that moment, they felt better because maybe Saturday night, they did some things they had no business doing, and Sunday morning is like, I gotta clean that up, man. God knows if I die, and they feel like they're dying sometimes, you know, hint, hint, and they feel like they're dying, so let me hurry up and repent of this so I don't die and go to hell, you know, and so they have these momentary repentance instead of a lifestyle of repentance, amen, and so it's not just a prayer that we pray, it's a life that we live, and so long people have believed denominationally that you got to walk the aisle and you pray the prayer and you're good for life, but I'll say this, you can pray the prayer all you want until you live the life, there is no fruit of your repentance, amen, elbow your neighbor and say, here we go. We're getting this thing cranked up today. So let me say it like this. If you were hanging over the side of a cliff and someone came to save you, they rescued you, they got you on solid ground, and after you were saved, after they reached out and saved you and got you on solid ground, would you still hang out on the edge of the cliff? Would you still hang out right there? And hang, because there's a potential you could fall again. I would find some solid ground to stand on. I would not stay where I've always been. I want to go where it's safe, where it's solid, where there's a foundation to build a life on. Amen. And so when we start talking about discipleship, yes, there's the salvation part of it, but there's also the building part on it. And this is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to build your life. And so he comes to these commercial fishermen and he says, hey, fishermen, if you follow me, I will make you a, watch this, a fisher of men. He's not taking away the fishing. What he's doing is he's taking the fishing to a whole nother level. He's throwing some purpose into it. And this is the big thing that you and I have to understand, that there's a lot of purpose that God is trying to bring to your life. And a lot of times we're not looking for purpose. We're looking for peace. We're looking for prosperity. We're looking for possessions. And for some reason, we don't believe all this stuff can exist in the same life. And the reason that we don't believe it can exist is because we don't see how we can put it all together. And that's why we need to be disciples, because only by following him do we get to experience the fullness of life that is only found in Christ Jesus. Elbow your neighbor and just tell him that's really good stuff right there. So let's break it down. What does it mean to be a disciple? And I think if there was a theme or a motto for a disciple, I think it would be this. I will live my life God's way. If you're looking for a theme for discipleship, I think it would be, I'm going to live my life God's way. You get the choice of what you're going to do with it, but I'm choosing to take my life and live it God's way. In other words, I'm following his lead. I'm following his directions. He's drawn the map. I'm just going to get on his highway and drive it all night long. Amen. And I'm going to live my life making sure that I live my life God's way. So this is what that looks like. The first thing, what does it mean to be a disciple? The first thing it means is this, is that you have to follow the leader. Follow the leader. And some of you right there, you just fell off. You're just like, I don't follow nobody. They follow me. That's how we roll. Follow the leader. That means you're going to have to make a conscious decision. This is the key word right here, decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. There are many ways that you can go in your life. What's that old song? Would you go your own way? Oh, I got to throw it in. Cynthia won't let me sing. So when I get the moment, I throw it in. Some of you like that. I'll be signing autographs after service today. If you bring your sermon notes. Well, that was conceited. Definitely got on the wrong road right there, man. There's an old song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back. See, to be a disciple, there's a decision that must be made. And that decision really is, we must repent. Such a strong sounding word, am I right? Because we've seen these guys. You ever seen those guys on the street corners holding those signs and they're screaming at people like, repent? First Florida State football game I ever went to, man. There's this guy out there standing. He's holding up these signs about the end of the world and stuff. And this dude is going off on me. Like, he's calling me names and stuff. Like, it's biblical names, not like... It's biblical descriptions of earthly sin. Let's say it that way. I don't want to go there, man. And this dude is just telling me to repent, and he's calling me all kind of stuff that is just inappropriate, okay? And I'm just trying to watch a ball game, okay? I like college football, and this dude's like, repent. And whenever I read the Bible and I see that word repent, it's always followed with this. When Jesus and John the Baptist, whenever they're preaching it, it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't see it as a threat. I see it as an invitation. Come on. I see it as an invitation. And there's been this whole connotation that's kind of hung around the word repent that makes you and I want to stay from it. And honestly, I believe the devil uses that kind of stuff to keep us from turning to Jesus, honestly. But I want you to know the word repentance is an invitation to heaven. That's what it is. And so Jesus is saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying, repent, because I got a better life for you than the life that you are living now. Somebody should get excited about that. I got a better life. And so if you will make a decision to stop following your old ways and follow my ways, you will experience the best life that there is. And I'm not talking about lifestyles of the rich and famous here, people. Listen, it's better to be blessed than it is to be rich. But if you're rich, give to the church. Amen. Amen. So watch this. He says, repent. turn from your ways of living and follow Jesus. Because I want the better life. I want the best life, the life that God has for me. So here's the question. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided with your life? Have you made a conscious decision that I'm going to follow Jesus instead of following my ways and doing it all my way, the way I think it needs to be done? Because when I look at my life, I realize I got a problem. Or two. Or three. I got problems. And so my way isn't working out so well. So I'm going to follow. And there's always those people who come give you advice. Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. I don't know, man. You know those people? You ever checked out their life to see what they got going on? They got issues too. So whenever they're saying what I think you ought to do, you want it to be said, I think you ought to follow Jesus. Amen? It's got to point to Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Have you decided to follow Jesus? See, too many times we want Jesus to follow us to keep us from problems. Come on. Jesus, come with me. Be my safety guard. Be my bouncer. Come on. You're my bodyguard. You got me. You're going to keep me from all kinds of trouble. But he calls us to follow him and live a life of purpose. See, we just want a life free of problems, but he wants us to live a life of purpose. Anybody want to live on purpose? You're tired of living accidentally. Live a life of purpose. So watch this in Luke 9. He said this to the crowd. If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. If you try to hang on to it, you lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you gain it. See, the conscious decision of following Jesus is realizing that if I try to hang on to this thing, I'm losing what could be. And so I give it up so I can get everything that God has for me, everything that God wants me to be. I'm choosing to follow his way. And that's why I'm so proud of these guys who are getting baptized today, because they've made a decision to follow Jesus and they're willing to go public with it. They're saying, hey, I am deciding to follow Jesus. No turning back, no looking back. I'm moving forward to what God has for me in my life. And they're going to go public with that decision in their faith today. And I'm just so proud of them because they're taking the next step in their walk with God. Amen. That's a pretty awesome thing. But they made a decision. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Okay. So if I'm going to be a disciple, that means I have to follow the leader. And Jesus is the leader. Jesus is Lord. And can I just say this? Jesus isn't trying to take things from you. Come on. He's trying to give you the kingdom. He's trying to give you everything that he is. Are you going to follow him? Are you going to dedicate your life to living his way and receive all that he has for you? Or will you choose to try to figure this out on your own? What if you miss out? The only way to get everything God's got for you is to follow Jesus, okay? So follow the leader. Here's the second thing. You have to grow as you go. You've heard us say this before. You have to grow as you go. If we're going to live life God's way and follow Jesus, we have some things that need to change in our lives. Amen. We have some things that we need to learn. If I'm going to follow him and live my life his way, I don't know all of his ways yet. So I've got to learn who he is. I've got to develop a relationship with him. And as I develop a relationship with him, I start to see his ways of doing things. You ever had a new coworker come work with you before? And as you're working with them, you realize you can tell early on if this is going to work out or not because of their ways of doing things. And in your mind, you're saying, if they don't change, they ain't going to make it. How many of y'all work with that guy right now? How many of you are that guy? No, don't raise your hand for that one. I mean, it's a matter of understanding that even though I have my ways, there's a possibility, a probability that my ways could be wrong. And that's a tough pill for us to swallow. Look at your neighbor and just say, you know what? I could be wrong. You thought I was going to say, tell them they could be wrong. But I want you to look at it. You see, you're struggling with it today. I want to help you get free. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I could be wrong. I'm doing marriage counseling today from the pulpit, man. This is good. You didn't pay that therapy charge today. I could be wrong. We have to change some things. We have to learn some things. So watch this. If following Jesus is a decision, But becoming like Jesus, that growing and that learning, it's a commitment. Following is a decision I made. But if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to learn, if I'm going to become like him, it takes commitment. That's a strong word today. Commitment. Because we have so many things that we want to do that we would throw a commitment away in a heartbeat. Think about it. Even in athletics, these guys sign these contracts, and after a couple years, if they don't like it, they find somewhere else to go. They post something on social media, one of these news outlets find, and next thing you know, they're finding their own way to go do exactly what they want to do. They're breaking contracts. All these different things are happening. We're seeing it happen in marriages. We're seeing it happening in business, where people at one time, they needed that person as a business partner, and just out of the blue, they pull out on them. Where's the commitment at? And let me ask this for the church, where's our commitments at? Amen? What are you committed to? A lot of times we're just committed to doing what we want, but what about being committed to who God wants us to be? Can I ask this question? Do you even love yourselves enough to be committed to who God wants you to be? That's a strong question. And a lot of times we love all the other things, that we forsake ourselves and we give ourselves up and we miss out on who God wants us to be for all these other things. We sell our soul. But if we're going to grow, we've got to make a commitment. If I really want to change, if I really want to grow, if I really want to be who God wants me to be, if I really want to become like Jesus, I cannot refer back to my old ways of living. I can't turn back. There's a story in the Old Testament of this woman who was being delivered from this sinful city. And the rule was this: when you're leaving, don't look back. And what did she do? Lot's wife, she turned and she looked back. And the Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. She became bitter. She became stuck. And there's a lot of people who are stuck in this life. And they become bitter because they just keep looking back, wishing things were the way they used to be, wishing it could go back, wishing they can go back to the old ways. Listen, God's got something new for you in your life, amen? And so, listen, you don't have to stay stuck anymore. You can move forward. The key is no looking back. I'm looking forward. What did Paul say? I'm forgetting what is behind, but I'm pressing forward to what lies ahead. There are new lessons to be learned. Come on. There are new challenges to accept. There are new things that I got to step into. And what's sad is this, instead of making commitments, we like to get comfortable. Come on, somebody. We like comfort. But this is what we miss. God's already got you covered in the comfort department because he has the Holy Spirit who is our comforter. See, you didn't know that. You were so worried that you weren't going to be able to relax. You were so worried that you were not going to have any peace and quiet that you forgot about who he is. And he is the comforter. He is the counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. Come on, you're looking for peace. Why don't you get the Prince of Peace in your house and there could be some peace? You see, like we're looking for something to give it to us. It's found in the person of Jesus. And this is why we've got to learn about who he is, because he could be in your house and you didn't even know what he had to offer. Come on. He could be right there and you didn't even know what he had. This is why discipleship is so important. So watch this. If I'm going to be a disciple, that means I have to conform if I'm going to be transformed. And I have to conform to God's word. So if there's some commitments we got to make, we got to make commitments to God's word. Amen. That means I got to read it. I have to understand who he is, and how am I going to do that? I'm going to get into his word. I'm going to begin to read. And some of you are like, where do you read at? This is a big book. Where do you start? Start reading the New Testament, man. Read the stories of Jesus. I love the book of Mark, one of my favorite ones, because it's just like SportsCenter. They jump from highlight to highlight, miracle to miracle, miracle. I mean, it's awesome, dude. You're going to go read the book of Mark now. Because it starts out with a miracle, and then it jumps to another one. You're like, man, this is awesome. Because you'll see what he was doing. You'll see the lessons these guys were learning. And it makes you say things like this: I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen it. And here's the good news. You are there. And the same God that was doing those miracles then can still do those miracles today. Amen? Who knows? Maybe he'll use you. I'm committed to God's word. So I read it. I study it. And the biggest challenge is I have to live it. I base my decisions off of his word. I base my convictions. What do we do with the kids? Well, let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. Are you grabbing this today? Because this word is a foundation. It's a solid foundation to build a good life on. So I'm committed to God's word, but I'm also committed to God's house. See, because in God's house, that gives me a place to serve. And this is a tough one for people. They want Jesus, but they don't want God's house. They want him, but they don't want the relationship with the family. And I'll just say this. You need a church family, because you can't do this on your own. If you try to do it without the church, you're going your own way. God designed us to be together in relationships, and he built his church because you and I need a spiritual family. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, listen, it can't just me getting it my way. It has to be me listening and learning. There has to be some leadership. There has to be some teaching and some training, and that is found in God's house. Amen. But there also has to be places to serve. You say, I serve all over the place, but there's something about serving in God's house. There's so much purpose connected to it. So watch this. This is what I would like for it to be said about me. And I think you'd want it to say about you. As a person, you'd want them to say, that person's teachable. I want to be teachable. You grabbing this today? I want to be committed. See, that's the kind of want to be I am. I want to be committed. I want to be teachable. I want to be a learner. I want to be changed. Come on, am I talking to anybody, any wannabes in the house today? See, so many people, I want to be rich. I want to be famous. Listen, I just want to be a servant. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be a learner. I want to grow. These are the things that I want, because if I get these things, then all these other things, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things. You got to get a little attitude when you say, all these things will be added unto me. Too many times we want all the things, but we're not willing to learn and grow. And listen, I believe you grow into it. That's why we say you will grow as you go. But somebody got to get going. Amen? You got to get going. Tell your neighbor you got to get going. So this is why we do those next steps classes. Coming up on the 13th of September, we'll kick off another round. And if you haven't gone through those classes, you need to jump in. What are we trying to do? We're trying to help you to take the next steps. We're setting up a track for you to run on so that you can be successful. That's brilliant, if you ask me. We want to help you to keep going and keep growing. Our e-groups will be kicking off on Sunday, August the 13th. It's just a few weeks away. You got to jump into those e-groups, because in those relationships, you're going to get challenged. Relationships are good to challenge people, and challenges help people win. You didn't like that. I'm going to say it again. Challenges help people win. If your team shows up on the field and nobody else comes, did you win? Somebody got to come play the game. Challenges, relationships help us to grow, help us to win. Here's the last thing as we finish up. If I'm going to be a disciple, what does it mean? It means I'm going to live on purpose. Going to live on purpose. When Jesus called his first disciples, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He offers to take their life to the next level. And he can bring purpose to your life no matter your position. He can use you to change somebody else's life. I need you to know that. Regardless of your past, regardless of your present, regardless of your problems, God can use you to change somebody's life. He can use you. There is so much purpose that comes with following Jesus. Every disciple that has followed Jesus, they're experiencing the power of his love. They're experiencing the power of his hands. They see the miracles. They understand the power of his purpose. And I want to finish this morning with a story. And I believe this is one that relates. There was this young man and his friend that went to a church service one morning. And when he got there, the church building was packed. And there was an usher there who was serving on the dream team, who knew he had to find this child a seat. So he got up and gave up his seat to this kid. This kid comes, sits there, sits through the entire church service. Well, that Sunday morning would be the day that he chose to follow Jesus. And he accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he becomes a learner. He becomes a disciple. Well, that young man grows up to become an evangelist who won thousands and thousands of people to Jesus. And that young man is Billy Graham. And you think about this young man. Listen, and everybody gets excited about Billy. And I love Billy Graham. Amen. Come on. I feel like we might need to give Billy a hand this morning, in fact. I mean, the dude just won people. I mean, he was just like, let's win them all. And he went for it, okay? And as impressed as we are with Billy, I'm just as impressed with that usher. Because that usher could have said, hey son, sorry, we don't have room for you. Come back next week. But that usher understood the possibility of what could happen in that person's life in that one day and made room for him, gave up a seat. And that was the day that that young man accepted Jesus. Do you see the purpose in it? Some of you that serve on the dream team, do you see the purpose? Do you see the possibilities of how God can use you just in everyday, ordinary activities? All he did was what he does. That usher made room, gave him a seat. Here you go, son. Don't cut up now. He gives his life to Jesus. He commits his life to following Jesus. He's a member of the church. And what happens? He becomes this evangelist that wins thousands and thousands of people to Jesus. And I know you're sitting there and you're saying, that's Billy Graham, Pastor. But I need you to look at that usher and I need you to say, that could be me. That could be you. See, it's these little things that we overlook so many times because we're so attracted to the big glorious stuff that we miss the little things that make a big difference. It's the little things that make a big difference. Following Jesus, it sounds good to go to church, but living out the little things every day in your life makes a big difference. When you're raising children, it makes a big difference, the little things. In your marriage, it's the little things that make a big difference. Amen? Are you grabbing this today? It's these little things and these disciples as they're following Jesus. They learn the little things. And those little things are still being passed on through the church. And it's still changing lives. And I want you to know that your life can be changed if you make a decision, if you make a commitment. If you decide to follow Jesus, follow that leader. Let him be your Lord and Savior. And you make the commitment to growing as you're going. Jesus, I'm following you. I don't know everything, but I'm willing to learn. Change my attitude. Come on. Change the way I view this world. Change the way I view these things. Help me to understand your perspective. You'll change and be who God wants you to be. And you'll begin to see purpose in this life like you have never, ever seen before. To the point that God uses you to affect the very people he's trying to reach and save. And this is the good news. He does it in every walk of life. He did it with commercial fishermen. He can do it with a tax collector. He can do it with a builder. Come on, he can do it with a tent maker. He can do it with all kinds of people in the very places that God has you. This is what he's saying. Hey, if you're a builder, he'll say, listen, you've been building houses. You've been building buildings. Let's build some people. Are you grabbing that? Hey, you've been counting money. Let's start counting souls. Are you seeing how this works? He wants to take your life to the next level. And what he does, he brings purpose, but it starts with a decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we wrap this up this morning. Because I believe there are some folks here today that have a decision to be made. Have you decided to follow Jesus? As you're sitting here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you're contemplating. This is a good moment of reflection where you begin to look at your life and ask yourself, am I the person I want to be? Am I the person that God wants me to be? And I think if you're going to say that you're the person God wants you to be, you'd have to be able to say, I'm following Jesus. But if you're here today, maybe you're not following Jesus. Maybe you've been going your own way. And as you evaluate your life, you begin to realize that you've gotten yourself into some things that you had no business getting yourself into. Perhaps you've made some decisions that you're reaping the consequences of now. And you're realizing that you need help. You need saving from this thing. And the only person that can save you is Jesus. Perhaps you got a past with a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. Perhaps there's been some things in your life that has really defined you. Some really negative things that has defined you. And this morning you're wondering, is there any hope for me? Is there any possibility that God can turn this life around? And I want you to know, just like we sang earlier, that he makes it all work. He can take those bad things and turn them around. He can redeem them and he can restore your life. That is the miracle of following Jesus. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been living life my own way, but today I want to make a decision to turn and follow Jesus. If that's the decision that you're going to make today, you say, Pastor, this is the decision I must make now. I want you real quick, would you lift a hand and say, Pastor, I'm deciding to follow Jesus today. I'm not going my own way. I am following your way. Anyone else this morning would say, Pastor, that is me. You pray with me today. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? You could put your hands down. I see them. Anyone else would say, Pastor, pray with me this morning. It's a decision. This is what we do every week here at Emerge. We always pray this prayer together. I believe this is a family prayer. We're going to the Lord and we're asking Him to forgive us of our sins and give us a brand new start today. And this is going to be a new start for somebody in this place today. Amen. This is an awesome time. In fact, all of heaven is on the edge of its seat right now waiting for this prayer to be prayed because somebody is making a decision to repent and turn to the Lord. And the Bible tells us that when one sinner repents, all of heaven erupts. Will you pray this prayer with me this morning? I want you to pray it out loud. And we're all going to say it together. You won't be the only one. Can you pray this prayer? Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that you love me. And your love is greater than any sin that I've ever committed. And I thank you that you went to the cross to die for me. You took the punishment that I deserved. And today I say thank you. So I ask you to forgive my sins. And give me a fresh start. I surrender all of my life to you. And I decide today that I will follow you. I will choose your ways over my ways. So I'm committing my life to you today. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be a disciple. I want to be everything you planned for me to be. Lord, here is my life. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we give a hand for those who pray that prayer today, perhaps for the first time? Come on, church. All of heaven is erupting.